The gospel lesson is the story of that Last Supper from the Gospel of Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 14 through 23. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup. After giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took the loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with a cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to ask one another, which one of them it could be who would do this. The word of God for the people of God. What could possibly have been in the mind of Judas that night to betray Jesus? We don't know the answer to that. A number of people in writings and commentaries have said that maybe, possibly, he was doing it to put Jesus in a position where he had to claim an earthly kingdom. They weren't listening. He said, "My kingdom is not of this earth." He told them time and time again that what would happen, what would unfold, would happen, and that he would fulfill the prophecies in doing that. Everything came together for this to occur. I said last week that without Pontius Pilate, without it being the Passover, without it being that Passover when the governor, the appointed governor of the Roman Empire, Pontius Pilate, would be there in Jerusalem, had he been betrayed at any other time, there wouldn't have been the people in place to fulfill the prophecy. But tonight we're looking at what it was for that Holy Thursday. You know, and just before the story, in another account, it speaks of Jesus as they're in that upper room, and the preparations had already been made, as I said last week, for them to hold and serve that Passover supper, that Passover meal. The preparations were made for this meal. And as they came in and sat down, and that would have been the tradition, they wouldn't have been sitting in chairs like we see in the popular painting, Leonardo da Vinci in his Last Supper. They wouldn't have been sitting there. They would have probably been reclining over a very low table. And the bread that they had would have been an unleavened bread, much like what we would call a pita. But before they sat down to the meal, Jesus did something remarkable. One of the things closely associated with this Thursday service, when he went to those disciples and he took off his robe and he wrapped a towel around his waist and he had a basin and he filled it with water and he to each of them, knelt, and then proceeded to wash their feet. Now, in our tradition, okay, I mean, I know it's a personal thing for people. But you know what? If you had to take your shoes off and your socks off and you had to have someone else wash your feet, it would have been nothing like it would have been in the ancient world. What Jesus is demonstrating in that is that the lowest servant in the household, and believe me, slaves and servants have a peck from the major domo down to the foot washer. And why is that? Major domo gets to talk to the head of the household, the wife. You guys heard that right. The head of the household, the wife, about things domestic. And when necessary, talk to the man of the house. But the person who greeted everyone who came into that abode, everyone who came into that house, came in from where? The street. What was out in the street? Was it concrete and asphalt? Was it? Did somebody step out of their Lexus? No. They didn't even step out of a clunker. I mean, they walked down the streets of the cities, and the streets of the cities were covered with what? Yeah, I won't go into it. Let your imagination wander, and that's... So the lowest job in that pecking order was to wash the feet of those people who came in. The dirtiest job. Jesus tells them that he who would be first, who would be leader, must be willing to be servant of all. And Jesus is demonstrating that not only is he a servant, but he's the lowest of the lowest of the servants. Nothing is too menial. Nothing is so demeaning for Jesus to do. Heaven forbid, he goes to a cross for us. But he tells his disciples that night before they have that meal. And then as they, Peter even went so far as to say, "Oh Lord, don't wash my feet. Please, no, don't wash my feet." And Jesus says, "If you don't let me do this, there's no kingdom part of you." And then Peter said, "Well, wash my head on down to my feet. Wash all of me. Don't stop." A powerful example of what it is that Jesus is doing. And imagine, you know, we call it Passion Sunday. We call it Holy Week. We call it a myriad of different things. But what it is, it really, truly is God fulfilling his promises made through the prophets, made to each of the children of Israel from time immemorial. And as that he would save them. And we remember what he's doing in the simplest of ways and in the simplest of things in which every one of us participates. Every one of us partakes. Every one of us has an equal access to God. No one gets to go to the head of the line in front of everybody else. And no one is restricted from that. And Jesus demonstrates in this who is in charge, because he asks God's blessing on the cup and the fruit of the vine. And as he takes that bread, he gives thanks. He breaks the bread. He gives it to his disciples and he says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." And after the meal was over, he takes the cup and blesses it and gives thanks to God and gives it to his disciples. And he says, "Take, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out, shed for you and for many." For what? For the forgiveness of sins. And in each case, as you do this in remembrance of me. So when we look at the end of Lent and what we have built up to, we look at the power and the passion and the music and the pageantry and everything that's there and the celebration. And as the sun is going down today, Jesus was going to leave that upper room and go to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he would kneel and pray and say, "Lord, if there be any other way for this cup to pass, any other way for this cup to pass, but thy will be done, not mine." See, he never stopped. He was, if people say, oh, he wasn't worried, he had it, then they missed that reading of the story in Gethsemane. He goes to his disciples three times. They've fallen asleep. And one of his disciples has already gone and made arrangements with the high priests, and the guards from the temple are coming to take him away. All of this is the pageantry for us on that Thursday night. That is what we celebrate. You do not get Easter and the celebration without the sacrifice of the cross. And we don't get the sacrifice of the cross before we understand the blessing that Christ gives us that we can share with one another each and every time that we celebrate. Not just be served communion. It's not just a serving. It's not just a meal that you sit down and have a serving of. This is the Lord's Supper. This is a means of grace. This is how the Holy Spirit comes into the simplest of things, the most ordinary of elements, the bread and the wine, the fruit of the vine, and he makes them extraordinary. That is his power at work in this world today. Are you guys worthy? Well, I'm not worthy in my own right, but I am worthy because that most indubitably, undoubtedly worthy Lamb in his actions tonight and on Good Friday and on Easter Sunday, give an unmistakable yes to the question of whether or not you're worthy. Because if you weren't, he wouldn't have done it. So you know you're worthy. Not in and of your own right, but worthy because Christ and his sacrifice makes you worthy. And we are all worthy. All worthy to receive and celebrate his supper. Holy Communion. That means of grace that leave us equal before the cross, equal before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.